So when we found out we were going to be leading the worship service this morning, Tim and Jennifer let us decide what today's sermon would be all about. The five of us talked about it together and decided that today's sermon would be entitled Grace. We wanted to use the word as an acronym, so we each picked a letter and decided what each letter would represent. Individually, we read our own parts and we put together today's message. We hope that our words will make you think about grace in a new way.
The G grace to me means graceful. In the dictionary, it says feeling or showing of an appreciation of kindness. So in 1 Timothy 5:16-18, it says rejoice always. Pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So it says to be thankful always, because if you are not, you will not be thankful for what He offers to you. In the story called Be Grateful, there's a rich man named Carl. He often owns his vast estate, so he could congratulate himself on his great wealth. One day, while riding around his estate on his favorite horse, he saw Hans, an old tenant farmer. Hans stood in a tree when Carl rode by. Hans said, "I was just thanking God for my food." Carl protested, "If that is all I had to eat, I wouldn't feel like giving thanks." Hans replied, "God has given me everything I need, and I'm thankful for it." The old farmer added, "It is strange you should come by today, because I had a dream last night. In my dream, a voice told me the richest man in the valley will die tonight. I didn't know what it means, but I thought I would ought to tell you." Carl snored, "Dreams are nonsense," and got up the way, but he couldn't forget it. The richest man in the valley went down tonight. He was obviously the richest man in the valley, so he invited his doctor to his house. Carl told the doctor what Hans had said. After a thorough exam, the doctor told the wealthy old man, "Carl, you are as strong as a horse. There is no way you are going to die tonight." Nevertheless, for insurance, the doctor stayed with Carl, and they played cards through the night. The doctor left the next morning, and Carl apologized for becoming so upset over the old man's dreams. At about 9 o'clock, a messenger drew out of Carl's door. "What is it?" Carl demanded. The messenger explained, "It's about old Hans. He had died last night in his sleep. You didn't need money to be rich. Be grateful for what you have in life, and you will feel happier." So we all need to be thankful for what we have, and we need to be grateful for what God has given us.
Dictionary definitions of the word redeem, especially in Bible terms, is to save someone from sin, error, or evil. There's a song that we sing sometimes in chapel at my school that I really like. Part of the song says, "I am redeemed, you set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be." Throughout the entire Bible, we see God redeeming and delivering his people from evil that they encounter or mistakes that they have made. Exodus 6:6 says, "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment." In the Old Testament, God delivered his people from slavery in Egypt and allowed them to go to the Promised Land. Before the Israelites were redeemed from slavery, they lived in the absolute worst conditions and were treated in the worst possible way. But God brought them out from the lowest of lows and delivered them to the Promised Land because they were his people. In a way, this is a metaphor of how Jesus saves us from sin so we can go to our Promised Land, which is heaven, because we are his people, and Jesus died on the cross for us. This past semester, the people in my Calculus 2 and Physics classes were all struggling with their grades and struggling to understand what was going on in those two classes. Throughout this semester, the material continued to get harder to understand and to grasp. Through all of this struggle, God was able to bring all of us math people closer together as a group and help us through the tough time. In the end, God was able to help deliver us all through the struggle of Calculus 2 and physics classes and redeem us in the form of good final grades. Throughout this semester, I kept coming back to the verse Psalm 19:14, which says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Every time I read it, I kept coming back to the last part of the verse that says, "O Lord, my strength and my redeemer," because it helps me remember that if I accept and acknowledge God and act as he sees fit, he will be my redeemer and he'll be there for me. I also keep coming back to the line in the song that says, "I am redeemed, you set me free," because he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us and to free us from our sin and our struggles. God will be there for all of us as our strength and our redeemer, because he's been there for us before, even when it hasn't been our day, our week, our month, or even our year.
The A in grace stands for acceptance. Accept means much more than merely to tolerate. It has the notation of warmly welcoming others, especially those who are different than you are, into the fellowship of the local church. They seem to go straight to people who are your kind of people, people who are just like you in their cultural background, in their appearance, and their likes and dislikes, and we're missing the radical nature of reality. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to accept your own personality, quirks, and habits? In the Bible, Ashes told his servants, "Behold, you see the man behaving as a madman. Why do you bring him to me? Do I like madmen that you have brought this one to act the madman in my presence?" However, Paul tells us to warmly welcome and accept those who are different from us in the church and outside in the world. He isn't talking about accepting those who are insane of sin, of course, but he is talking about the ones who are more mature believers, accepting the immature, and the immature accepting the more mature who may seem very strange in their eyes, because Christ accepted us, even as sinners. Jesus accepted the immature and mature believers as he accepted each and every one of us, meaning that we can't divorce the fact that he accepted us from the way that he accepted us. He died for us while we were yet sinners. We were his enemies, and we were not seeking after him. He came looking for us in our lost, helpless condition. He did not require that we clean up our lives or make vows to change or do anything to deserve his love. Jesus ran to us, embraced us, and welcomed us into his family in spite of who we were. He promises that the one who comes to me, that I will certainly not cast out. That is how we are to accept one another. However, we are not only meant to accept others, but accept Christ as well. Most of us were all baptized as children and later on became part of the church. We made a personal decision in our lives to accept Christ in our each and everyday lives. To me, that's one of the most important decisions and life-impacting that you can make in your lifetime. With accepting Christ to be a part of our lives changes our whole aspect in life. We didn't deserve his love, but with accepting him into our lives are forever changed.
C is for compassion. Compassion, defined by the New Oxford American Dictionary, is concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. The Bible is filled with stories all through the Old Testament and into the Gospels of how God and Jesus have showed us compassion throughout the course of their lives and history. The Bible tells us amazing stories about a God who has such great compassion for Israel and stories about his son who lives and suffers through the pain of the world so that he can die for us in hopes of us continuing to live and act compassionately. As kids, we all learn the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. The story starts in Mark 6, verse 34, saying, "When Jesus landed and saw a huge crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd." Jesus felt so sympathetic towards them, knowing that they hadn't eaten in days and knowing that they were doing all they could at this point just to survive. So what does Jesus do? Jesus goes and gets his disciples and tells them to gather something for the people to eat. They were not willing to spend half a year's wages on feeding over 5,000 people, so Jesus asked how much food they had with them. The disciples had only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish with them. Jesus then ordered the people to sit in groups of hundreds and fifties on the green grass. Jesus takes the food and looks up to heaven and gives thanks for it. He then proceeded to feed everyone. After the meal, the disciples collected 12 basketfuls of broken bread and fish. Jesus didn't have to feed them. Going back to the definition of compassion, he was concerned for the suffering of them. There were over 5,000 people gathered in his name, and he was so concerned for their well-being that he took all of the food that was in his possession and fed the others. Psalm 119:77 says, "Let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight." God showed such great compassion towards others that he sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. Now we need to follow in his footsteps by the laws he set and be as compassionate towards others as he once was towards us.
The E in grace stands for everlasting. In the Bible, God says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness." The type of love that God has for us is never ending. In this verse, not only is he saying that he loves us, but that he loved us and shall continue to love us for all of eternity. His love is everlasting. Absolutely nothing has the power to outweigh this kind of love. He sent his very own son to die for us so that we all may realize how deeply he cares for us. 1 John 4:9 tells us, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we may live through him." Obviously, we know that our Father loves us, but how are we worthy of such wonderfulness? Psalm 86:15 reassures us greatly. "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." God is patient with us, even if we don't deserve it. God is compassionate no matter what we as sinners have done. God is faithful to us as long as we remain faithful to him. God loves us because we are his children. We love because he first loved us. This is what's so amazing about God's love. It has a powerful and driving force behind it that allows us to accomplish anything. As long as all of us remain believers and followers of his commandments, his love will remain everlasting. In the second chapter of Ephesians, verses 4 and 5, he truly shows why he loves us so greatly. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." By grace, through faith, we are saved by him. God loves us no matter what, and his word is here to reassure us of it. His love is never-ending, everlasting, and absolutely wonderful. Though we may go through times where we feel like we don't deserve it, God's there to pick us right back up and remind us that we are loved. But God demonstrates his love for all of us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Please stand for the benediction. Let us pray.
As we leave this special place today, we give thanks for all things, both big and small. We know, Lord, that you have provided for our needs, and we will continue to do so. Lord, we are grateful.
Lord, we give thanks for your redeeming power. We thank you for saving us from our sins and seeing us through any difficulties that we may face.
Dear God, we know that you are with us when no one else will. You will accept us because that you love us. We ask that you help us be a church of acceptance.
Lord, you have shown us how to show compassion. As we go from here today, may we bring light into a dark world as we show compassion to others.
Thank you, God, for sending your Son so that we might live. We are thankful for your everlasting love and for your abounding grace. It's in your name we pray. Amen.